Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, welcome back, everybody, to another year of the Sunday Podcast.
I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Back in 2025 for our fifth season. You can expect more of this.
He's claiming that he was ill before the semifinal, whatever, but, you know, I just feel like at that point he was just looking for attention.
And some of this.
Andy, you normally say no human is limited, so I can't limit myself, or I can't just say I can do.
As well as event coverage around all the major races on the UK circuit.
And if you're a fan of the pod, please give us a rating and review on your preferred podcast streaming service.
And if you want to stay up to date with all the latest news, give us a follow on Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
As always, thanks for listening. See you next time. And we hope you enjoyed the episode.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to another episode brought to you by sportsshoes.com. As always, lots to chat about today. We had loads of races over the weekend and loads more coming up as well. Mate, we better start with the Rome Diamond League, I think. Obviously, a big win for Sarah Healy over the 1500 metres.
Yeah, huge win for Healy over the 1500. I mean, that was just a stellar Diamond League. I mean, Chebet was just, again, off the charts. Thought she might break 14. But yeah, nice win for Healy. Obviously, sub 4 minutes. And I think, you know, you start picking up wins, you can then start to challenge for a global medal, especially compete in that sort of top five, come to global champs. So, yeah, very, very solid for her. But I think the storylines are weird. I mean, the men's 1500 was ridiculous as well. I think 16 men broke or were inside the qualifying standard for the world champs, which when you start seeing that happen, obviously there's men from multiple countries, but you start to go, you know, that those British Athletics B standards, that they're obviously going to accept athletes if they've hit that standard and they're in the ranking position. But when you get 16 from one race, all inside the qualifying time, and that for me wasn't even it was a very, very good Diamond League in a sense. They all ran fast, but you're missing a lot of big names. You know, you're missing all the eight people that usually do Grand Slam. You know, Jakob's not in there. So you're missing a lot of people who are also going to punch in there. So yeah, I'm not sure. I actually haven't looked at those world ranking lists. And obviously we've still got a long, long way to go. We've still got 2 months of qualification window, or 2.5 months of a qualification window. So, but yeah, it's looking like in some events, if you hit that B standard, you're probably still not going to get selected on the world ranking, because it's just the depth is just crazy.
I think we know that from previous years as well, though, that it's not going to be a case of taking people on ranking points over the 800 or 1500 meters. And it's those longer events where you can't race week in, week out. You might not get the opportunity to run that quick time, even if you're a stellar athlete, hence why you're in the ranking points, because you've placed well somewhere else. But in the 8 and 15, where you can have pretty much, not unlimited, but like you can have a fair few shots at running the time or placing high, there's going to be no chance we're taking people on ranking points.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, we've got the names, haven't we, when it comes to those mid-distance events. Like if you're the top three in Britain on the day, chances are you've already had to have run that qualification standard. So there's that as well, I suppose.
That's it, mate. And obviously Giles in the race, good to see him, I guess, back towards his best, 3:31. But mate, me and you were just saying off air, and I think it's fair to say that it's going to be a long shot for him to make the team this year, and I'll be very surprised if he does.
Yeah. Although, like, obviously, we can take four this year, so there is that spot that opens up for someone like Giles, and he's just got to sort of race well, come to the trial, to be honest with you. So with a time like that over the 1500, I think he's obviously going to commit. I think he's often He's often struggled to decide actually what to focus on, and it's always seemed like it's probably wasn't, but seemed like it's a bit of a last minute decision. He's like, right, yeah, I'm going to get through the 800 or I'm going to do the 1500, you know. So, but I think the way he's moving and the way the 800 is, I think he's probably got a good chance of actually qualifying, given the way that championship race sets up at British Champs. You know, can he get amongst it? But saying that, he got crushed at Grand Slam when it came down to a bit of a kick. But those guys are probably going to be the best in the world. Again, you know, they already are the best, and they already were the best in the world last year in 2024. So that's probably a tough result to go off. But that's effectively, you know, the likes of Kerr, like we'd like to think that sort of Gawley and Whiteman can match his sort of clothes in those sort of races. So it'd be difficult for him. But, you know, actually looking at the rest of our 1500 runners right now, I'm not sure anyone can come close. I think Giles has separated himself a little bit. With that,
I guess that's us expecting Mills not to double again after his experiences last year and probably to opt for the five, right? Because I think if you throw him in there, it's maybe a bit of a different story. I think the issue is as well, is how the qualification works, because obviously Kerr's got his spot. We presume he's then going to run the 800 because he doesn't even need to run the champs, and he seems to prefer to do that anyway at British Champs, as he has done the past few years. So it's actually like what the selection policy will be around those guys making a team, because I'd imagine it'll be top two, which you'd expect maybe Gawley and Wyman perhaps, and then everything else would be discretionary, right?
Yeah, that's exactly how it will play out. But I think as well, yeah, you talk about someone like Mills. I think 1500 was an easy option for him last year when it came to the trials, because obviously it's less taxing on his body when you want to go double at the Olympic Games as well. But it didn't have, you know, obviously it had Gawley, but there just wasn't the depth there. Was this year, you go into that race and there is a lot more on the line, because you are going to get Gawley, you are going to get Whiteman, you probably are going to get Giles in there. So I think the standard of that 1500 trials is going to be even higher than it was last year, because these guys have had such a long period of time out. Plus, you know, you've got people like Copeland now, you know, starting to get back to his best running well, 334. And I just wonder if, you know, these races, I mean, it's crazy. A lot of these men haven't even been running. They've been running well in these time trial scenarios. But I think Grand Slam really highlights that there is different levels, and sometimes that, you know, when you see these times, you can think someone's a very similar level. And Giles is a prime example to some of the best in the world. But yeah, it was, yeah, Habs and that Timothy Cheruiyot and Asai, like that was big runs from them to see those guys under 329 this early on as well. I know they've done it before, but yeah, lots of national records, people like Farkin, Phil Strom, and yeah, Reynold Cheruiyot running well as well. So it was just Ollie Hawes getting back there. But you know, you're still coming, you're 331-1 and you're coming ninth in a diamond. Like, it's just a different era, mate.
And the times just don't matter. The standard of that race is, it's not even like an Olympic or world semi-final.
No, I would say that's a semi-final. That race is a semi-final.
I don't think so, mate. There's not enough names in there for that to be a semi-final. Because say you take all the best guys are doing Grand Slam, right? You split them in half, one in each, like half of them in each semi. That's four guys then.
A couple more big hitters maybe, yeah. So anyway, that was, yeah. So Giles ran well though. I think he definitely will be. Now we've got four spots. I think he's probably that next guy on that British team. We're still, you know, two or so months away from that trial. Yeah, and then just back to that women's race. Obviously, Katie Snowden, Rebe Walcott-Nolan, like 402, a couple of 402s respectively, down in 11th and 12th. I would actually say that's pretty solid running for these. They've proven that they can get into form when it comes as well. So is Giles. So I think as long as you can sort of move through and really improve week after week after week, they're going to be okay. But yeah, I think, you know, you talk about perhaps the women at the front not quite pushing that 1500. It might not get back down to the level we saw last year, but I think there is way, way more depth. And I think that Diamond League proves it as well. And with the 800 as well. So yeah,
And for the British girls as well, there's no, apart from Georgia Bell, there's not really, obviously Laura Muir's not the beast she once was. Maybe she'll prove me wrong on that later in the summer. And I hope she does. For Snowden and Walcott Nolan, it doesn't really matter, because they're gonna have qualifying times. They're gonna come in, and there's no one that's then gonna come in and like wipe their spots away from them. So as long as they're staying together in and around that sort of pace, you know, there's no worry for them in terms of getting there. And then, like you say, we know they can go and perform when it comes to the champs.
Yeah, maybe. I think if they're running for 4 minutes just a touch under by the time the champs comes, the British champs, then yeah, they're fine. But, you know, we have seen Erin Wallace run pretty quick, you know, and obviously we've got Laura Muir to come into the equation. So there's a few more men down there. a few more women down there, sorry. But yeah, I think you're right. They're just still that level above, aren't they, to your 405, 404 runners. It's a big jump. But the race of the day was probably that women's five, mate. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I mean, Chebet closed in 14.9 her last 100. Perhaps more impressive was Batacletti, closed in 14.3 for her last 100. That is actually, it was great. She is just on fire right now. But 14.03 is sickening. Like, that is, you know, we're talking about Kipyegon running a sub 4 mile. I mean, Chebet breaking 14. She has obviously done it on the roads, net downhill. But yeah, to do it on a track, and I think she's going to go again soon. Her interview after, she was like, back to Kenya, get training again, and she's going to pick out a fast Diamond League. I don't know where it's going to be, but yeah, she's going to get after that. And also Kipyegon, like, is she going to race before this sub 4 attempt? There's a documentary coming out about that, by the way. That's going to be on Amazon Prime. It's Kipyegon attempt. She's going to have one episode before she races, then an episode after she races. But yeah, I mean, it seems like she's gone full Kipchoge mode, like no tune-up races, nothing like that, just straight into it, just attack it. And she's probably doing everything, you know, got loads of those scientists on board through Nike and everything like that. Obviously, Andy Jones is helping her out again, right? The lead physiologist. So yeah. Probably doing everything under the sun right now in training, but surprised weren't going to see a race at all prior to it.
Yeah, I guess the issue with that is what race could she do that would give her confidence?
Do you not need one? I wouldn't say confidence, but would you not need one or two races just to tune up for that? Just like maybe an 800 or maybe a 1500.
She can run 800 or a 1200 in training with training partners behind closed doors, and maybe we'll see that in in the documentary. What I mean is, you go to a Diamond League, and obviously she's going to win it, but what race could she possibly do that is going to give you an indication that a sub 4 mile is possible? There isn't one, I don't think, without actually going and basically doing it. And then all it's doing is basically knocking her confidence, because I think all it would do is show that she's not ready versus...
I can't... Yeah. Yeah, and I think as well,
she's not gearing up to win this race. She's going to win whatever it is.
When it comes to selling the event in the media round, if she goes and runs a 1500, and even if she ran 352, 351, 350, which is insane, you've got to go through in what, 343 and carry it on to break 4 minutes for the mile, or 342.
I think she could run 347 and we'd still be like, well, yeah, but so.
I think it would be, it's nuts. If she goes and breaks 4 minutes, that is nuts. She would be over 1500, what's that, 8 seconds or 9 seconds, 8-9 seconds quicker than anyone else ever in the world over 1500 meters. Could you imagine if that would be like Jakob running 319, 318 for 1500? We would go into meltdown. And like, Kipyegon is amazing, but that, like, the context there to be 8 seconds quicker than anyone ever in the world over 1500 is just like, what? Like, that's a big margin over a 3K. That's a big margin over a 5K. So I'm not sure it's going to happen, but I think one of the reasons we might not be seeing her race is purely down to the fact that, yeah, if we go see her run some 355, some 350, even 351s, 350s, you're just like, yeah, that's a long way off. You're not running 350 for 1500 1 week and going, yep, I'll go run a 342 the next week. Not at her level anyway, because she's already right at the top. Anyway, we've moved on a little bit, I guess. But yeah, that women's 5K, I think Chebet will break 14 minutes this year. There's no doubt about that, the way she ran that. It's just, can she get a bit more help for a little longer? And I guess, yeah, she's already in fine form. So how much more can she improve throughout the rest of the season, I wonder?
Yeah, sickening, isn't it? How well she has started this season. But even just the fact that the 14.03 is not a world record, though, like that, I get that 14 minutes we saw a couple of years ago just goes under the radar a bit, I think. Because like you say, we then thought that we'd see a sub 14 then, and the fact that we haven't, it's almost like, what point does this stop? You know, because Chebet can't just keep going and going like she is. So at what point does she stop? Hopefully she runs 13:59 first.
Oh, she will. Yeah, I know, I agree. The other person in that 5K that worth mentioning, Megan Keith, returned to the track for her in what was an absolutely brutal 5K for her. I mean, yeah, getting involved in a race where they're running 14 minutes on the front end, it's rough. Credit to her, still still ran 15-16 in like what was just a completely solo effort, and probably pretty hard mentally to navigate that race.
You got to think she's been got to be close to 15 minutes in like a race that's for her right now.
Yeah, I was and again, like I guess you don't want to turn down the Diamond League, but you know the Paris 5000 was on the same day, and you know, just looking at the results coming out of that, surely that would have suited her a lot more. Like that was one in 14:46. Inez obviously around 15:08. Like I would have thought, you know, Megan would want to open up in a little bit more of a low key race. But hey, there you go. And it was a solid run. I think she's worth a lot more than that.
For sure.
And I wonder if we're going to see her in a 10K this weekend.
Perhaps, mate. I hope we do. But I'd be a bit surprised if we do, though. You know, I really would be surprised if we see her in a 10K.
That's my idea.
Yeah, let's chat about that fast 5K, mate, because, yeah, like you say, some impressive results on the women's side. Obviously, Inez 15:08, Callie 15:12.
Yep.
Not so good.
I guess the men's was, basically. I mean, I think with what Scott ran indoors, Scott BT 13:04, you're kind of like, okay, he's opening the season up. What can he do? But, 13:53. So, obviously, you know, when it doesn't click in the 5K, it doesn't click. You can lose a couple seconds a lap and end up with that time. So I'm not sure. He obviously would have had some issues. Not sure what they were. And then, yeah, that was pretty much it. I think Will Barnico and our boy Charlie Wheeler, I think they're DNF'd. So I haven't actually watched any race footage from the Fast 5000s. But, yeah, I think they both DNF'd as well. So something not quite right there maybe. But, yeah, not too much to report except actually just looking at the result, but no context to talk about really. But, yeah, the women's was – we had a whole host of women go out there. Inez 15:08, like you said. Callie 15:12. Callie's due to race in Oslo over 10,000. She's on the start list anyway. But then I don't know if she's going to race the British 10,000. I haven't heard confirmation on either. You got Phoebe Anderson, India Weir, Lucy Jones. Phoebe Anderson, by the way, 15:24. India Weir, 15:35. Lucy Jones, 15:44. Sarah Astin snuck inside 16, and so did Jess Judd. So back, but still nowhere near her best. But all the others, PBs. For like Anderson, Weir, Jones, big PBs. But
big new crop of distance talent on the women's side there, I think.
Big new crop. But to be honest, more impressive for me. It's what Emily Parker and Charlotte Dannett did at the BMC Grand Prix in Birmingham. Like they just framp ran basically what these girls went and did. Yes, they were 15:30, and they're going to go, if they were in that Paris race, I mean, for example, like Anderson Weir, like they were 11th, 14th, 15th. Like it was deep. Had they gotten that race, they could have run even faster as well. So yeah, women's 5K really pushing on, and I just hope we see all these women line up come British champs. Obviously, we probably won't see Callie, but the rest of them, because it's getting really deep, very competitive. We saw that at Battersea, and just a whole host of women now getting sort of 15:30 and below.
You say we won't see Callie. If anyone's gonna rock up and do British champs 5K while training for a marathon, then it is Callie. So we might well see her at British champs.
Good point. She seems to be everywhere doing everything. And yes, so that was the Fast 5000. So just some good results to note for sure. And then we had a little meet in Germany. That was on Sunday. Hemi Jonas 1:46. He's just kind of a man in good form at the moment. I think it was a messy race. Izzy Boffy, too flat. Again, she's making good progress, working her way down. Walcott Nolan ran again. Aaron Wallace 2:01 as well. So some decent 800s for them.
Yeah, and then obviously over to that BMC. You mentioned the women's 5K already, but I think for me, you've got to be the race of that meet. Obviously, you were on comms, so you might say it differently, but that men's 800 meters, running 1:45s at a BMC is just... it's just top level. To be fair, the 800 is the one where like you don't really need to go looking too far, I think. And then some people, I think, do go abroad for the sake of it. But yeah, to see a couple 1:45s at BMC in the UK is great to see.
Well, look, I think someone like Dodds, like that is how the boy likes to race. Like he wants to be out front. He wants to have a clear run. And that's exactly what he's going to get in a BMC. Mm-hmm. And I think that is when he's at his best. In those sorts of scenarios, 45:03 was very, very good. I mean, I was looking to see, he almost broke Atson's record, 144.5 or something like that. So, yeah, edging closer to that. But it was a great race. David Race as well, huge run from him, also breaking 1:46. So first two were under 1:46. But yeah, you're right. I think, you know, you look at the world tours and what they offer, you know, for example, Henry Jonas goes out, gets a messy 800, runs 1:46. It's not all about times. You have got to learn that racecraft. But yeah. I think when you want to go faster than 800, you can comfortably do it on British soil as long as the weather's good. Weather could have been better for these guys. They raced at about, I think it was about 5:30. Was a little blustery, was a little bit cold. It wasn't raining at the time, but there was rain in the air and stuff. So yeah, Dodd's got a lot more to give.
Mate, you mentioned David Race. The guy's never run 1:46.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. Completely bypasses it. Yeah. Yeah. He's having a great season. I think different to Dodd's, Race comes into this one having raced a lot. So he's really primed and ready and probably just getting right into his peak right now. And he's been, I think what a lot of his races, he's got used to going through fast now. And I think it went through fast on the weekend, but it didn't shock him and he was able to cope with it. And I think that's how you know, those sort of big runs is the one day where you can go through fast and you don't fade and it doesn't bite. And that's exactly what happened to Race. Yeah, huge run from him. And he's announcing himself as, I mean, R800, just getting deeper and deeper and deeper, as it always is. We're seeing the, I guess, changing of the guard, but we're seeing men step up and actually replace others who are, like you say, the likes of Giles, who we might have sort of seen. He's passed his best in the 800. But yeah, just looking at Dodds as well. I mean, he won his fastest time last year, 1:44.7. That came in Belfast in May, and he won that race. So he does like to, he opens fast and he likes to win races from the front. That's when he's at his best.
I just think we're seeing the, I guess the way we've seen the jump in times on the world stage, we're seeing that filter down to, I guess, UK athletics now, in that it's not that long ago that 1:45 was like our best 800 meter runners.
Oh yeah, I know. And it was a rarity, but it was the whole field were inside 1:47, which is pretty nuts. Even someone like Copeland running 1:46 bodes well for his 1500. He's got a 1500 tonight, by the way. I'm commentating on it in Czech. Yeah, it's just, even like people like Ben Gardner, 1:46, like Bucks winner, you know, it's incredible. Wigfield, all these guys, Savage, like, yeah, we've got some, yeah, that was a stacked race. And I think probably, yeah, possibly race of the day then. I think you might be right.
Absolutely, mate, absolutely.
But full stop, on the BMC, by the way, that BMC in Birmingham, I think it was one of the best BMCs that has ever been. Certainly to meet organisers, you know, those associated.
Track, mate, it is a great track for a BMC.
It's a great track, but look at some of these stats, right? So apparently 46% of people PB'd at that meeting alone. The men's 1500 A race and the B race, apparently 72% PB'd, which is just exceptional. And the 800 A and B, I think together, were 50% PB rate, which is also very, very strong. And I think when you look at the time qualifications, I think there was 18 or 19 people ran a qualification to European under 20 champs or the European under 23 champs. Which is unbelievable.
There we go. Lots of...
So, like, there was a lot of fast times. I mean, just look at all these under-20s. Well, let's shout them out, actually. Will Rabjohns, Tom Waterworth, Shona, Jessica Lark, Shakira King, Elena Strevens, Lewis Small, Matt Pickering, Eliza Nicholson, Katie Pye, Lizzie Wellstead, Millie McCallum-Brooks, Matilda Laidlaw, Dylan Millard, Olivia McGee, Millie Gold. Olivia McGee's an under-17 as well. They are all under-20s, all nailed the standard from 800 all the way up to 5K. Yeah, and then there were three under 23s: David Race, Tom Bridger, Emily Parker. Yeah, it's nuts. That was a very, very impressive BMC. And often, you know, you just look at you can always pinpoint it, right? That second Grand Prix, the time of year, everyone's hot, everyone's open their season, yeah. They've got two or three races under their belt, they're ready to rip. If the weather's good, we always see it. So I think, and also another thing worth noting is, like, credit to BMC, because usually some of the field, like some of the 5Ks, some of the 3K steeples, they can be a bit watered down. They were stacked. 3K steeples, 15, 20 people in, great pacing, wave lights. Same with the 5Ks. They opted against having, like, splitting sort of those distance races into sort of an A and a B race. You chucked everyone in the same race. Big old start. That's how it should be done. And yeah, and that's why you've got so many people running fast, getting qualifying standards. So yeah, I think it was, yeah, obviously hands down on history. I think the BMC is saying that's probably the best one that they've ever had with the quality and depth. I think record number of entries, 470 odd plus. So
all in the commentary, mate.
These are all notes from my commentary for sure. Yeah, any other big results? I mean, the fight, Aaron Gebremarin, by the way, in the 5K, 13:36, just... Yeah, absolutely, Donnie. And I wonder, I hope we can see him at like a British Champs. We haven't yet, but I hope we can see him competing at British Champs, because he is just an unknown quantity. And like, how are people going to deal with him at British Champs? Like, obviously, you know, we're going to have some guys who can probably beat him comfortably. I just, you know, he ran 13:36 in that fashion. He's got a lot more to give as well. Yeah, you know, he's probably, the way he ran that, you're probably like, this race, probably a 13:20 runner. Like, very strong.
That's it. And like you say, and we see people go to Boston meets to run 13:20. So, yeah. We will see, mate, if he's there and competing. Obviously, your boy Slade's sneaking inside 14 minutes there as well.
Yeah, well, it was a brutal race, I think, just because of Gebre Merhem. Like, it was his race and everyone else was just a bit a part of it. And I think, yeah, obviously the lights were set to him. The pace is locked in for him, and everyone struggled after that, after a little while. Like, we're like, basically it's what we saw at the Diamond League with Chebet and stuff. So talking to Diamond Leagues, mate, I think that wraps up like what was a terrific BMC. I think Emily Parker, by the way, is just in great form as well. She obviously over the steeple doing exceptional things, but then that women's 5K was a very impressive run, 15:33. So backing up her form in both the 5 and the 3K steeple. Yeah, mate, should we move on to what is going to be a ridiculous Diamond League on Thursday?
Yeah, mate, obviously Oslo going down, mentioned the 10K already, Callie's in it. Will she run? I think it would make sense for her to run. If she wants to run it, pop out a decent time, like she doesn't need to, I guess, qualify for the world. So if she runs a good enough time, she could qualify anyway, rather than worrying about British champs on Saturday. Again, though, she could do both. I don't think she will. For me, it makes sense for her to go run in Oslo instead of racing on Saturday in Birmingham.
Yeah, for me as well. But, and I guess she's been in Europe anyway, albeit Paris, really not that far, is it? But yeah, I think we'll see what she can do. Let's have a quick look at that field as well, just to see. It's a good field for her. Like, you got the likes of Izzy Bat Doyle in there, like Rose Davies, those Aussies. She can key off Dominique Scott, Van Es, the Dutch lady. So it is a good, lots of women, 30, 50 high, which is brilliant. Like, that's if you're Cali, that's what you want. 31 minutes, 30, 45, something in that range. People to actually run with it. It's not being paced at a silly, ridiculous speed that you're just not going to be a part of the race. Yeah, I think there is big opportunity there for her and a mean like Oslo. But the big storyline is the 5K, the men's 5K. World record attempts, Graham Blanks in there, Gebre Wet, Germa's brother, Kuma Germa, who's a 12:50 guy. He has just been in fine form. He's been dominating those early season Diamond Leagues. Kajeltra, 12:38 man, obviously. Krop's a 12:45 guy. Dominic Lebalu as well, 12:50. That young Ethiopian, Benai Mahari, 12:54, but I think he could go quicker the way he's been looking. Now, Mills is in there, but Nico Young's in there, Cooper Tears in there, Thierry Nidiku Munyayo as well, the Spaniard, Sime as well, he's been looking good. So basically, you've got, it's those core Ethiopians, your Gebre Wet, your Kajeltra, and there was talk of Aragawi, but he's not in there, so he must have been a late scratch.
Yeah, and mate, obviously it's going to be fast. Just a heads up as well. So the meet is actually split over 2 days. So Cali will be racing on Wednesday night, tomorrow. And then
yeah,
and obviously the main Diamond League is on Thursday. So slightly like weird meet in that sense, but I think they do normally do that. But yeah, Mills is either going to run absolutely rapid.
I think it's going to be too, I mean, this is crazy.
Or like, yeah, like we
it's
say.
It's going to be too quick.
Yeah,
it's going to be too quick.
And not just him, for a lot of the guys in there, it could just be way too quick.
Which I think, yeah, I think the likes, I mean, yeah, I'm looking at like Graham Blanks. I mean, Nico Young's obviously an exceptional runner as well. These guys seemed ready to run fast. Their Grand Slam interviews, they were kind of like, we've had a 3K under our belt now. We're ready to kick on. And they've been training for this record attempts. I think those Americans are going to be in 12:45, 12:50 shape, potentially. But the problem is when it's being paced at, the thing is with these Diamond Leagues now, they have multiple coloured lights. So it's actually,
you just, yeah, gotta, I mean, if you can find two races within the race, then it's fine.
I think there might be.
Because if you commit, that's the thing. It's if some of them just commit and think, you know what, I'm feeling good today, I'm just going to get on the back of the front group regardless.
I think the thing for me is as well, I'm not sure Gebre Wet and Kajeltra are in the shape they were last year. People like Mahari and I'm just not sure they're quite in the shape. I mean, Gebre Wet's obviously, and he hasn't done Grand Slam for a couple races now because he's supposedly had a little bit of an injury and stuff. So clearly there's been some interrupted training. And yeah, this world record attempt, I mean, it would sort of come out of nowhere a little bit because yeah, they're not.
Mate, I just don't know about these world record attempts, mate. Like, I don't know why.
Diamond Leagues like to pitch them because obviously it sells tickets, right? But I'm not sure we're going to see them run as fast as last year. I'd be pretty stunned if Gebre Wet goes and, you know, given how he's performing in Grand Slam and stuff, if he goes and runs a world record, it's like, huh? Why wasn't he doing these Grand Slams? He said he was injured.
Mate, they must have really kind of weirdly worded contracts around those because...
I agree.
And that's the issue with them, right? That's the issue with the whole format. If they're not locked in, if they're not really locked in, what's the point? It's just another meet.
Yeah, I mean, Fisher's obviously training, but managed to get out of that last one. So, yeah. But in a way, it's a good thing. I think it's giving other people a chance to race them. Anyway, so the men's 5K is going to be hot, expected to be fast. Rumors of world records. I would be surprised, but never know. Hey, men's mile, dream mile. Charles is in that. Goes again. Niels Laros. Nordas is in there. That Phil Schrom, who obviously... It's a very, very similar field, actually, to men's mile. You've got Cam Myers and Ollie Hoare in there as well, but it's a very similar field to what we saw run the 1500 in Rome Diamond League. It's almost all the same guys. You haven't got Habs. You got the Portuguese, Isaac Nader, instead. But yeah, all the others, like Swede, Eva, they all featured. They all ran fast. 331. Chariot.
Yeah, so, for sure. And then obviously over in the men's 800 as well, Max Bergen going, hopefully building on that. 143 from last week, I think it was, in a top field as well. Obviously, Sajati in there, Kramer in there, Tuau, Atui in there. So Mark English as well, running well at the moment, Wang Yonyi. So, mate, great opportunity for him to run quick. And that's I think, if you've got people like Dodds running 145 at BMC, you expect Max Bergen to start running much quicker than 143. And that's no disrespect to those guys. But
mate, weather, I think all the races are going to be on it. The weather looks really, really good. Weather looks really good. 16 to 18 degrees, 2 to 3 mile an hour winds, no chance of rain. Like the weather looks, if there are going to be fast times, the weather's good enough for it. And the way Max Bergen starts opening with 143, I think we're going to see a 142 from him, like with the guys we've got in that race, because it will be fast. The only other person, at least Thorna, goes in the steeple. Now, obviously, off the back of her dub and her 9:17, hey, look, you know, she's in a great race where there's going to be women running 9 minutes. You know, I think that'll be clear as day. That'll be where the wave lights are at. Mm. You got all the big players, you know, Chiruto, Krauser, Nard, Courtney Wayman. Apologies, mate. Yeah, all the big Americans in there as well, like Jennings, Valerie Constein. So, yeah, it's going to be a fast race, and can Thorna go quicker than her 9:17 already? So, great opportunity for her. And that might be her first ever Diamond League. So sport hits you fast.
Quite possibly, mate. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if she's down towards your 9:10s, there or thereabouts. Definitely like low nine, like teens. And then we'll see, mate. Because obviously, like we said, she's going to have the path to the champs, like a bit open for her. We haven't seen the others racing. Maybe they will later in the season, but... That we really do have a new steeplechaser on the block.
Yeah, we do. And hey, you can take, obviously we can take three for the steeple as long as they've all got a standard. And I think so Thorna is, you know, I think we'll see her in a couple more races. Then we'll see her go quiet for a bit, maybe over the compete over the flat and obviously just get the job done at trials and off she goes. Off she goes to Tokyo. That is almost a deadlock. So I've just had an exciting email, literally just come through now, buddy. So we can actually preview this 10,000 meter champs on the weekend.
Look at that,
Bosch, that is fantastic time. And Luke Gunn, Dean Miller, just brilliant. They must have got wind. We were recording a podcast. So yeah, because this has been really hard to find any sort of information around. Like I've struggled to find a timetable. I've struggled to find those entries, but we have them. Firstly, I'll start with the pacemakers, right? Because we got the Birmingham's very own Tarragona is going to pace. Every Mariam, who we were just talking about, singing his praise, he's going to pace. And so is Isaac Hersham Chandler. This is in the men's race. So they're going to be three pacers in that men's race pacing. And the wave lights for the men's, there's going to be 27:20, green one. There's going to be a red one at 27:45, a blue one at 28 minutes, and a white one at 28:30. This is the same across all the races. The women's 31:10, 31:30, 31:55, 32:30. So although it's a trial, it is all about time. I think everyone's there for a PB and you kind of have to be given a 10,000. You don't get many opportunities. And the men's B race, 29 minutes, 29:20, 29:40 and 30 minutes.
Makes sense, mate. Over 10,000 meters, there's no point in them faffing around and running slow because then none of them are going to go anyway. I think if we saw one standard, like a true standard in either the men's or the women's, I think that would be a great success.
Yeah, the men's A race, I'm not going to lie, Chris is doing it, which is great. So is Ephraim Gide, which is also great because I think those two are going to have a big old head-to-head. And actually, I'm around 27:49. Gide is sharp right now. He's moving well over the half. And that is actually tough to call. I know Emil has the credentials, but I think Gide is a little bit more in touch with that track speed at the moment.
Yeah, and we are Emil biased.
But yeah, Gide won the 10,000 meter cup, European 10K cup. Like he's looking, yeah, I think he's going to give Emil a good run for his money. But to be honest, it's those two all the way. Like next best, Who do we have? You know, Ellis Cross, Zach Mohammed, Rory Leonard. Yeah, if Rory Leonard gets it right, he could compete. He could sort of hang on, compete with those two. But I'm not sure he's going to be able to, take down Gide and Caress. So those are kind of your next best runners. And then you've got a few other, Jake Smith's in there as well. But Jack Gray, Matt Ramsden, Liam D., Ryan Thompson, Alex Durant. So yeah, you've got a few other strong candidates in there, but I think that's why there is so many wave lights, because it's actually not a very deep field. It's definitely not what we see at Highgate. Bit of a shame. We thought Paddy Deevan might be doing it. He's obviously not on the entries. So yeah, I think there's going to be lots of just mini duels in that 10K. Women's race, a lot deeper. And yeah, talk about pacers. Lucy Jones, Phoebe Anderson, Elena Strevens, Amy Eloise Neal. All four of them pacing. That is, really, really strong. Poppy Tank, Izzy Fry, Megan Keith is doing it. There you go. So that was a nice tune-up for her last week. So yeah, make big run for Megan Keith, Abby Donnelly, Jess Judd, Kelly Thackeray is on the start list. If she's going to do one or the other, if we see her in Oslo, we're probably not going to see her in Birmingham. Although, to be fair, I think we might see her in Birmingham because her husband's down to do the men's 10K. So actually, Kelly might not race in Oslo. Charlotte Dannett's in there, Tess McCormack, Bryony Gunn, just looking at any other big names. A few Italians in there, yeah, which I haven't done. Obviously, haven't had any time to just look them up. But I don't recognize their names. So probably just strong Italian runners, nothing more than that. Yeah, so they're your big names, really. What is exciting, I have been told that Ines Fitzgerald and Jess Bailey are going to race in the 3000 against each other. So it's the equivalent of Ali versus Foreman, hey? Josh Kirby to Jakob Ingebrigtsen. It's Britain's answer. Jess Bailey versus Ines Fitzgerald. We don't get to see them race much. They're going to come head-to-head on the track. And I think, actually, the likes of, I think I got told, maybe Phoebe Anderson is doing that 3000 as well. Let's have a quick scan back through a few messages. Lucy Jones, Phoebe Anderson, also in that women's 3K. So there is a women's 3K. Let's run them through the timetable quick. We've got, by the way, the women's 3K is off at 3:50. And then you'll have the 10Ks that start. There's a few heptathlon and decathlon events, but the 10Ks will start at 5 o'clock, the B race, 5:45, and then 6:20, the women's A race, 7 o'clock, the men's A race, and there is an elite 600 as well, 3:15, which, by the way, again, I have also been told, Dean, that David Race is going in it, Ben Gardner, Callum Dodds also going in it. They're going for a UK best attempt.
Yeah, mate, it's a super exciting meet, isn't it? And I guess just for you guys listening, we will be there as well. We will be there bringing you some content around the races, obviously getting them up on socials. But if you are down in Birmingham as well, and you're a fan of the pod, please do come and say hello. And it'll be great to see some of you down there. But mate, just a reminder of those, I guess the big times we're looking for, 27:20 on the men's side and 31:10 on the women's side, those UKA standards for Tokyo. And yeah, like I said before, I think we could well see that women's one go. I think the men's one maybe is a little bit too quick. And really, is there the appetite to go after that? Maybe that's unfair, but I think we mentioned Emil is probably the standout Brit there, but the appetite for him to go and run that, he didn't need to run that time, obviously going in the marathon anyway. So I don't see it. Whereas I think for some of the women, really is kind of spots on the line that they can realistically go after.
Yeah. I agree with that. There are lots of spots in the women's, and yeah, I think the main thing about, both races really is it's just, you know, the 10K is a long way and it's just how many are going to be together beyond 5K. I think if you've got a scenario where people are front running for, I mean, we've seen it at Highgate over the years, like Paddy was exceptional last year, a lot of stints, you know, large stint on his own, stuff like that. We saw, you know, Mill and Aitken the year before, and like, you know, that there is a lot of front running to be done in these thousands, given the depth, and it just takes its toll when you've got to be running 65 fives and you can't drift from that. Oof. Like, yes, you've got the wave lights, but it is tough. And when does it get, you know, if there's two of them, when does it get a bit crazy for the race? Who actually, you know, who wants to win? So, yeah. But no, I am excited, and I think Birmingham do a great job. This is, by the way, part of a whole festival of races that Birmingham doing that weekend, and it goes into the Sunday. I think there might even be, don't quote me on this, but an open 10,000 for people to get stuck into on the Sunday. They like what they see. Absolutely not. In fact, I've backed myself in a head-to-head. So, yeah. So I guess that's all to look forward to. And like you say, we'll be there Saturday, mate. The only other race on Sunday is Stockholm Diamond League. Just quickly, let's just see just any Brits lining up in that. We've got another good men's 800 to look forward to. No Brits in there, but Josh Hoey, Bryce Hoppel, Kenya Mal Kramer, at Wanyonyi goes again to our men's 5,000. Would you believe it? Just a few days after Oslo. And that has a few different names in. So it's got Berega is in there. Andreas Almgren's in there. Cole Hocker, a couple Kenyans, Kai Robinson. It's not as deep as the Oslo 5000, but still a very, very strong field. Women's 800, the news is that obviously Keely Hodgkinson not on the start list. She will not run Stockholm, even though it was announced earlier in the year that that's where she would open her season, which is a shame because I think Keely's in a tough spot now because, you know, the longer you leave it, the fitter other people get. And then you have to really, like, Keely won't want to come back and lose. She'll want to come back and start winning again. So does she open somewhere low key? But when you're as high profile as Keely, you just, nothing's low key. You can't open anywhere except a Diamond League. Like, that's the only place you can open your season, really.
Unless she goes and runs a 400, right? Because we know she's partial to that, and that's where she could go and do it. But I don't think it really helps her, does it? That's the thing. Like, she might go be able to go through a race routine, but I don't think it really tells anyone anything. But yeah, like you say, mate, she can't go and run 800 at the BMC.
No.
To ease herself back in. It's just
impossible. And go run a 158.
She'll also be a bit silly too because look, their appearance money and stuff. Like, if she's going to open up, she may as well cash in and run well. Yeah, she is in a tricky spot. But as we always say on this podcast, she's got a brilliant team around her and I'm sure they will have something planned out and will have a contingency for every eventuality. So I'm sure she'll be absolutely fine.
So I guess the next event I saw her lined up for was the pre-classic on the 5th of July or something, is it? So I don't think she was announced to do anything like in between Stockholm and Pre. Maybe she was, but that's going to be a very tough place to open up. Because if you're a season opener and you're running 157, 158, you're very, very vulnerable. Yeah. Hope it's nothing serious with Keely, but yeah, Georgia Bell will be running in that 800 in Stockholm and so will Gemma Riki in a very good field. You've got Wera, you've got Addie Wiley, Decodizo's in there, Mary Moore is in there. So, and actually what I like is you've only got nine people in there, but one of them's probably the pacemaker. So you're actually going to have the space to run quite fast.
Absolutely. Yeah. Loads to look forward to, loads to digest as well. So thanks for listening to us. If you're down on Saturday, like I said, come and say hello and give some love to the pod and we'll look forward to it. And we'll catch you guys very soon with a review episode from Saturday's British 10K trials.
Definitely.
We'll be bringing you on Sunday, maybe slightly later than a normal release, but we will make sure that's out for you at some point on Sunday. So thanks for listening to us and we'll catch you guys very, very soon.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.